Well, it has been a blessed feast. Feast of Tabernacles, the eighth day, has so far been a very good one. And we had some different activities this year. One of the activities that we've added, which was done a long time ago, was a men's leadership meeting. And as I recall, what I remember from what we had before, I think this one was even better, an improvement over what I had experienced before. It's so good that I wanted to share with you what was shared in the meeting. And I think we're going to have this meeting, the men's leadership meeting, each year. And as we move forward each year, we trust more men will be here to be helped. And we ourselves are helped, those that are already leaders here. But we are all leaders in one respect or another. Ladies, sisters, you are as well, within your own families, with the younger women, with the children, and we all have a role to play. But the main function of a leader is to serve and set an example, and Yahshua being the perfect one to follow and emulate. But the title of the message is Leadership Skills and What Are They Leading To? Because I wanted to tie this into the eighth day, which we understand is has a meaning of time out of time, eternity, which we know is coming. You might turn there with me, but actually, I'll be right back. Since we're going to look at this, I might as well bring this up here to be able to look at it. 1 Corinthians 11, 1 through 34. Paul starts out saying, "Be imitators of me as I am of Messiah." He defaulted to the Messiah, and we should as well in our actions. Do they line up with what the Messiah would do? "Now I commend you because you remember me in everything and maintain the traditions even as I deliver them to you. But I want you to understand that the head of every man is Messiah. The head of a wife is her husband. The head of a head of Messiah is Elohim. Every man who prays or prophesies with his head covered dishonors his head, but every wife who prays or prophesies with her head uncovered dishonors her head, since it is the same as if her head were shaven." Let's go over to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 23. Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 23. "For the husband is the head of the wife, as Messiah also is the head of the assembly, he himself being the Savior of the body. But as the assembly is subject to Messiah, so also the wives ought to be to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as the Messiah also loved the assembly and gave himself up for her." So there's instructions. It goes both ways. Men, to love your wives. Women, you're to respect your husbands, but there's also the respect for our wives, the husbands have, and the love that the wife is to have for the husband. So it's not just a one-way street. There is a unity, an ikad. You know, you end up having the same goals, aspirations, purpose in life, working as one. And we will always have Messiah above us. Therefore, we must be sensitive to his leading us. And we are to be sensitive in whom we serve as well. Let's go over to 1 Peter. 1 Peter 3 and verse 7. "You husbands, in the same way, live with your wives with understanding as with someone weaker." There's a weaker vessel. I mean, men typically have more strength. And that's why I'm out mowing the lawn and Carrie is in doing the dishes, for example. I mean, it's just the pattern that we have fell into to serve one another. And it is a service-oriented, you know, role that we each have for one another. But husbands, husbands in the same way, live with your wives with an understanding way. As with someone weaker, we could look at emotions. I mean, they're You know, men tend to be more logical, more left-brained. Women tend to be more right-brained, more creative in many respects, and more emotional in many respects. That's not always the case, but sometimes it's, you know, my wife, for example, is very logical, helps me, you know, think through some things that, you know, we have in, that comes up in conversation. Sometimes I'm more creative, but, you know, we each complement one another. And since she is a woman, we show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers will not be hindered. So there's a blessing to be able to serve one another, to honor one another, to love one another. Ephesians 5, going back to Ephesians. Ephesians 5 and verse 21. Be subject to one another in the fear or in the respect of Messiah, knowing that he is judge of us all. But leadership, we find, starts at home. I mean, one of the reasons this country, and I think many around the world, are having troubles is because the family unit is falling apart. There is no respect as there should be in some homes. There is no love as there should be in some homes. And the homes break apart because of it. We did a little bit of an exercise in that, you know, went up to John, for example, and pushed Elder John and pushed his hand, had his hand up, pushed it. He pushed back. That's an automatic response. And the purpose of that is to understand that when we instruct, when we share, when we help, we should do it gently. Even if it's a matter of rebuking and, you know, instructing in that way. We want to be gentle and kind and loving, because if you push, you tend to get pushed back, and sometimes that can cause problems. Let's go to James 1, verses 19 through 20. This you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of Elohim. And elders are especially called to be exemplary in their behavior. In 1 Peter 5, in verse 1, starting there. 1 Peter 5, 1 through 4. So I exhort the elders among you as fellow elders and witness of the sufferings of Messiah, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed, shepherd the flock of Elohim that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as Elohim would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive an unfading crown of glory. This is something we're all looking for, and we have instructions both for men and women to be able to achieve. We have to overcome. We have to work towards the goal that is set ahead of us. Now, Timothy was evidently fairly young, and in 1 Timothy 4, in verse 12, it says, let no one despise you for your youth. So, do we have some youth here? I don't think Timothy was as young as teenager or younger, but certainly would have been of age to be in the position that he was in. But even the youth, you know, when you're speaking to someone about the word, and you will get opportunity. I remember when I was younger, because I was taught in this way, in part. Didn't have everything, still don't have maybe everything that I should have. But I had enough to share the word, to eat clean. In fact, I was at one home in which, you know, the mother was serving a meal, and she was serving meat of some sort, and I asked, well, what kind of meat is that? And she got a little offended until I said, because I follow the Levitical and Deuteronomy, you know, Leviticus 11, Deuteronomy 14 food laws, I can't eat any pork. And she, her countenance changed. She actually respected me being a young man, you know, I think I was like 14, respected what I had to say concerning my belief and why I was wanting to know what kind of meat it was. And it turned out to be beef, so it was okay. But, you know, it's okay to speak forth, let people know what you believe. I'm not going to be able to keep this Christmas party with you because my belief is that that is in error according to Scripture, that we're not to be celebrating his birth, the Messiah's birth, but rather his death as a memorial, and so that we do. So we're all involved in learning, in helping, but let no one despise you for your youth. But set an example in speech and conduct and love and faith and purity. Set the example. Yahshua's own teaching being a leader, Mark 9, verse 35. And he sat down and called the 12. And he said to them, if anyone would be first, he must be last of all and servant of all. To lead is to serve others, not to be served. Philippians. I'll try to slow down a little bit. I want you to be able to look at these scriptures. Philippians 2. Some of these I have written down so I can go through them fairly quick, but others I need to look up myself. Philippians 2 and verse 3 says, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Well, that'll stop a lot of arguments right there in their tracks. In verse 5, have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Messiah Yahshua. So again, it goes back to who is our leader? Who is our example? And a perfect one at that. That's our Savior. We are first to serve Yahweh, of course, through Yahshua. John chapter 12, verse 26. John 12, 26. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Because essentially, you're serving the Father. Because Yahshua came not to do his own will, but the Father's will, gave the commandments as the Father gave the commandments, spoke what he spoke, did what he did. And, you know, all of this will make us good leaders in our respectful homes and out in our areas of work or at school or in the assembly. Matthew 20, verse 26. 20 and verse 26. Actually, let's back up to verse 25. Yahshua called them to himself, and he says, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great men exercise authority over them. And we see some powerful leaders. We had a president recently that was powerful in speech and in action, but some of the things he said and some of the things he did and the, do I dare say, arrogance? I mean, there's a bit of refreshing when that is gone and someone comes in that's a bit more humble, can appreciate the humbleness. And this is the point Yahshua here is making. You don't want to be overbearing with people. Verse 26, it is not this way among you, but whoever wishes to be great among you shall be your servant. A servant is humble, kind, gentle. May I do this for you? May I do that for you? Even washing the feet, an example that we follow each spring, during Passover. Matthew 7 and verse 12. So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. It's what they teach. Teaches service to Yahweh, teaches service to one another. Fruits of the Spirit are not out of line with the word, they are in line with the word. There's no law saying that we can't have love. There's no law saying we can't have self-control. These are the very things that the law points to. And we don't want to give a burden that we ourselves are not willing to take. And wisdom further tells us in Proverbs 11:14, where there is no guidance, a people fails, or a people falls. But in an abundance of counselors, there is safety. So even counselors can sometimes need and use counseling. If you turn to Acts 6:3, the body is involved in choosing. You know, we had a general business meeting. There are times in which we will appoint or anoint an elder, appoint a deacon. The brethren have the right to be involved in that process. Acts 6:3, as they were here. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you seven men of good report, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. You know, taking care of physical matters. Elders are to take care of spiritual matters. The board of directors at Yahweh's assembly in Yahshua are made up of both elders and deacons. Right now, there's limited amounts of qualified individuals, and of course, we look at the qualifications in the pastoral epistles, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus, for example. In fact, we can look at 1 Timothy 3, 1 through 16. 1 Timothy 3, 1 through 16. The saying is trustworthy. If anyone aspires to the office of overseer, he desires a good and noble task. Therefore, an overseer must be above reproach, the husband of one wife. You know, they had polygamy back at that time. In fact, there's polygamy even today in different countries. In the kingdom, there's no indication there will be such things. Ezekiel 40 on, you know, the original intent was one man, one woman. But when I was over in Africa, there was an elder from the Republic of Congo, and he asked, you know, he said, well, I have someone, he's a fairly new elder, but he says there was someone that was wanting to be baptized, and could he baptize him? Because he was married to, I guess he had two or three wives. It's legal there. And I said, well, yes, but, however, because of the qualifications, he would not be able to be in a leadership position, because that is one of the qualifications. He has his hands full, so to speak, at this time. And I was asked, you know, well, what about one of his wives? What if they want to be immersed, you know, and follow this way? Well, absolutely, yes. If you go through counseling with her and she is found to be understanding the word and doing the things that need to be done, sure, absolutely. So going on here, being sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not a drunkard, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own household well, in all dignity, or with all dignity, keeping his children submissive. For if someone does not know how to manage his own household, how will he care for Elohim's assembly? Now there's some depth to this, when we consider the children are believing. Women are involved in teaching the children. Believing children would indicate a believing wife. So if a man is looked at under these qualifications and he's married, the wife should also be a believer. And of course, the admonition of Paul was to marry within the faith, not outside of the faith. But if a man is not married, and the qualifications are there otherwise, then he could be put in the position. But certainly above reproach, already proven managers. In fact, 1 Timothy 5:8. But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he is denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Very serious admonition to be, you know, doing good in your own household and providing and helping and loving. The Old Testament has an example of help. Exodus 17, verses 8 through 16. Now, this was after the sixth complaint of Israel. And of course, they weren't allowed to go into the Promised Land because they tested Yahweh 10 times. And this is one of the times they tested him. They were on the verge of, you know, revolt against Moses even. And so Yahweh gave them something to do to get the bent energy that they had out. Exodus 17, 8 through 16, but there's something that we can learn about this. Then Amalek came and fought with Israel at Rephidim. So Moses said to Joshua, "Choose for us men and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand at the top of the hill with a staff of Elohim in my hand." So Joshua did as Moses told him, fought with Amalek, while Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. Whenever Moses held up his hand, Israel prevailed, and whenever he lowered his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hand grew weary, so they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it while Aaron and Hur held up his hands, one on each side, and the other on the other side. So his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. Now the people would have seen this, the ones that were complaining against Moses. And they saw that they were winning because he was being supported. It was a lesson for them to also support him and not, you know, disrespect the leader. And there are areas of scripture that, you know, speak the same. 1 Thessalonians 5:12, Hebrews 13:17. Some other areas we could look at. We're not going to do that today. But leaders sometimes need support, and humble ones will accept it. Let's go to Acts chapter 18, verses 24 through 26. Now a Jew named Apollos, Acts 18, verse 24. Now a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was an eloquent man, competent in the scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of Yahweh. And being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things concerning Yahshua, though he only knew of the baptism of John. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue. But when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, now notice, this is a husband and a wife. They both were able to help this other individual, a man who was, you know, well studied, but still needed some help in his understanding. They heard him, they took him and explained to him the way of Elohim more accurately. There are times in which I call upon Carrie to come and help in counseling, you know, because our protocols, our standard is not to have a man counsel with a woman alone. And so my wife is there, and that is good because I can call upon her if a woman wants to counsel. But if Elder John is there, I'll counsel alongside with him. And we did this recently, and you know, it came up that between the two of us, and it was concerning marriage counseling. Regrettably, the husband wasn't there, but between the two of us, we have almost 75 years of marriage, good marriage, and we've never been married before, so we don't have, you know, anything, baggage from previous marriages or anything like that. But we know what it takes to make a good marriage, and the biggest thing is to be able to serve each other and to consider, you know, your spouse, maybe even more so than you consider yourself, but love your spouse as you love yourself. That can go a long, long way to making the marriage good. But we can always learn more than we confidently already know. And certainly this eloquent man named Apollos, he may have actually been the one that wrote the book of Hebrews, because then he understood and he would have wanted to elaborate and teach accurately, more accurately than he had been. And the book of Hebrews is looked upon as a bit of an outline, as a message no doubt presented, not so much a letter that was written. There is order and process in the assembly, and everything is to be done in a proper manner. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting in verse 28. 1 Corinthians 12, 28 and 29. And Elohim has appointed in the assembly first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping and ministering, various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Ephesians 4, verse 11. Ephesians 4. Verse 11. He gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors, some as teachers. This is kind of known as a fivefold ministry, I've heard. Five there, but there are different gifts, various gifts, and we each have gifts. We've been baptized in Yahshua's name, had the hands laid upon us, receive of the Spirit. And because of this, we rely on each other for the building up of the body of Messiah. And we must rely on others to make up for our own weaknesses. And we all have different weaknesses. And so I like counseling others with Elder John. And I could do the same with Elder Tom, certainly with marriage, you know, I trust, because he's even written on the subject you know, thoroughly. And so we help complement one another. We help guide and direct the brethren. And this is a good thing for everyone. But we all have our own gifts. We all can be a part and help. And just as Apollos was helped. All right. We are also supported now, but will be fully supported and you know, shown in the future what we'll be doing. But we're on a bit of a proving ground right now. Let's go over to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 6, 4. Second Corinthians 6, 4, the servants of Elohim, we commend ourselves in every way by great endurance and affliction, hardship, calamities. You know, we go through these things and we are proven by them. We also gain endurance. We can be joyful in them, though it's hard to be joyful when going through difficulties. It helps show how dedicated we are. It's those that overcome that will be granted the rewards, and so we're proven to show ourselves approved. 1 Corinthians 16, 13 through 14. 1 Corinthians 16, 13, be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong, let all that you do be done in love. And no greater love is there than what Messiah did for us. To seek Yahweh's will is to have the type of love that we should have. Dying for one another daily. Dying to the old man in the past, not for the old man, but putting the old man behind us. But serving one another, loving one another, taking our time and being supportive of one another. Titus 1, thinking of qualifications, Titus 1, 9, he must hold firm to the trustworthy word as taught, so that he may be able to give instruction in sound doctrine and also rebuke those who contradict it. So what does all of this have to do with the eighth day? Well, going back to the title, leadership skills, what are they leading to? We don't fully understand what is beyond what we're told in Scripture, but there have been some ideas that have been presented. And we have to consider some of these ideas with Scripture to see if it's a possibility. But we know that Yahshua has given his life for us that we may have life. That, like individual seeds, you know, we grow, but when we look at agricultural things, when we look at creation, from the smallest things to the largest things, seems like there are things that just show that you start out small, you end up big, and there's replication, duplication, adding to, multiplying, and we saw this recently. Elder John was telling me about, Loretta, I think you took one of the tomatoes and took the seeds out of it. It was one seed that made that tomato and many others. So that the seeds that you pulled out of that tomato, though they were numerous, there were many more that you could have, you know, pulled if you had all that were from that plant. I did the same thing, by the way. Took some Cherokee tomatoes, took the seeds out of one, and they were numerous. Sent them to my mother because they were great tomatoes. She grew them. A neighbor came over belonging to 4-H, said, can I take some of these tomatoes and put them in, you know, at 4-H for a contest that they're having? And it won first prize, a blue ribbon. They are very tasty. Cherokee tomatoes, they're also called purple tomatoes, but very, very delicious. And they're pretty too. But the point is, you know, we have, you know, a tree, you know, one seed, but it produces many seeds. Will we be given the opportunity to do as Yahshua did, to give his life literally for a people that need salvation? I mean, this has been presented before, and I do question it a little bit because of what Revelation 21 says, for it talks about there's going to be a new creation, the former things are going to be put behind, there will be no more death, there will be no more suffering, there will be no more pain, but that's certainly for those spirit beings. It starts out in chapter 21 as no more seas. That is, I think, no more peoples, in part, after you get past the millennial rule. That means those that were physical will be made spiritual, so on and so forth. At least that's the impression that I get. But we're not told exactly. Will we have the opportunity to create as Yahshua created? Will we be able to create planets? Will we be able to create life on those planets, physical life? It's just something to consider. We don't know exactly what's coming, but we do know that it is going to be great. And there is a passage in 1 Corinthians 2. It's actually a quote, 1 Corinthians 2:9, quoting from Isaiah 64:4 and also 65:17. It says, "Just as it is written, things which eye has not seen, nor ear which has heard, and which has never entered the heart of man, all that Yahweh has prepared for those that love him." We usually take this and refer to what is coming. And indeed, you know, Yahshua said, "You'll do greater things, greater miracles than he did." Well, that will be in the future for us and for all that overcome. But when we look at Isaiah 64, 65, 17, there was a mystery about how Yahweh would redeem Israel, you know, having divorced her and these type of things. Well, we know now how that process is coming about, and we know much more now than they did. Some of the mysteries that were a mystery to them are no longer a mystery to us. But there are still things coming, and I think we could say that, you know, maybe it hasn't entered into our hearts and our minds what Yahweh has planned. Certainly a number of things are coming that we don't fully know of, but that love Yahweh will be privy to in the future. So we have eternity ahead of us. What will we do? Well, right now we have the opportunity to help and do Yahweh's word and live it. And one of the main examples of leadership is the example of living correctly according to Yahweh's word. And this is what we must do. This is what we need to move forward with. Yahweh's word, his spirit, is a guiding force in our lives.